Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel. I'm Joe Donahue, along with our incredible gang of three WAMCs, Alan Chartok, yes. Newsman Ray Graff, and also here, University at Albany journalism professor, investigative reporter, and roundtable regular Rosemary Armeo. Good morning to you all.
Thank you. Ooh, it's Monday morning doldrums here.
Played it kind of close there, Mr. Yeah. Dr.
The late Alan Chartok is here.
What happened was that we went to see Pete and Peggy at Proctor's last night.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have missed it for $1 million. The place was completely sold out. Pete got a standing ovation, of course, when he came out, which you would expect to happen. And we got home at 12:15 at night.
Oh, my heavens.
I was up at 4:30 doing my regular thing. You know, so.
But you're here now, and that's what's important.
Yes.
So if we hear snoring noises,
why is it so important?
More than usual, that is.
Good point, Ray.
Good morning.
All right, let's talk about.
And they accuse me of picking on him, but he's always giving me a shot.
What?
Always.
No.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's talk about the, to me, the most incredible story that broke over on Friday, right after we had finished up our last panel. And this is something. The IRS focusing on conservative groups, suddenly giving the GOP an issue to seize on is the headline of the New York Times in this morning's edition. This is all about the IRS and their special scrutiny on small government groups applying for tax-exempt status, which went apparently behind keyword hunts for organizations with Tea Party or Patriot in their names to a more overtly ideological search for applicants seeking to, quote, make America a better place to live or, quote, criticize how the country is being run, according to part of a draft audit by the Inspector General that has been given to Capitol Hill. Who gives the IRS that kind of directive?
Well, okay, I'm no fan of the IRS. I've never cheated on my taxes, and yet I've been audited twice, including once that went to the tax court. I always prevail because I never cheat on my taxes. But I got caught in the same way that I think this began, with a trigger. They can't audit everybody, so they pick the most likely people. And I was prepared to say, until some new revelations are coming out, that is the IRS really so wrong? These are groups that believe taxes are too high, the government is wrong, they want to do anything to bring down government. So was it really such a bad thing to target them as someplace where you might find tax scoff laws? But now the revelations coming out, apologies, and it went too far, and it was a conservative group, that's a little troubling. That's going back to the Nixon days.
Because you're targeting. I mean, you're saying go after these guys.
Well, I think you do. When you audit, you are targeting, but you have to, like, what triggered mine
There's
was
a fairness
an unusual.
In targeting?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and these conservative groups and the Tea Party does advocate the government's wrong. We don't want to spend more money. It would make sense to think these are people who are going to hide assets.
Rosemary, do you know why you were targeted? You
yeah, like I do on both times. And one time it was because my husband at the time was involved in a fellowship. It was a joint return, and it was an unusual fellowship that claimed a tax-exempt status. And the second time was because the IRS confused taxes exempt because I was working overseas with working for the government overseas. That money is not exempt. And it was very bungling, and it cost me a lot of money in lawyers I shouldn't have had to, but I never did not understand why I was targeted.
Yeah, that's interesting. WAMC, of course, was targeted. I believe it was targeted.
The opposite way.
I could never prove it, but we had a guy here who was spent, I think, it was a pre-retirement year, as I remember, and he spent several months looking at our stuff, came up with Zippo. Mm-hmm. But one wonders, you know, I.F. Stone, the famous journalist,
right.
To the left, was targeted repeatedly. At least I was told that. And, Nixon, of course, was famous for his enemies list and for on the tapes talking about the IRS. So, you know, the moment that happens, Americans lose faith in the IRS. Right. Some people won't pay their taxes. It's a lousy idea. And if anybody, and they're saying it was a rogue unit, basically, that, right. that did this, and they ought to be disciplined for that. Right. That's a terrible thing.
Well, what's right. a rogue unit? And it, so does that mean that it comes from within as opposed to a an edict from Mount High?
I have a feeling we'll sure as hell find out. You know, if I'm the Republicans right now, I'm going to want to know this. I think the Republicans in the Senate, who are the status quo Republicans, have a little bit of a problem of their own. They all face the Tea Party in primaries. So to give the Tea Party too much attention would be a mistake, I'm sure they feel, because that would make the Tea Party more Robin Hood than some people think they are. Mm-hmm.
When you look at there's a line here in this Times article today that says the accusations of the IRS abuse are sure to fuel an effort that appears to be uniting dispirited Republicans and their conservative political base investigating Mr. Obama and his administration. Republicans are pushing a portrayal of an administration overreaching its authority and punishing its enemies.
Well, if they prove it, there's going to be hell to pay.
Yeah, I think this is really a shame, and it's gonna add on to the whole Benghazi hearings too, where once again
it's a 1-2 punch, isn't
right?
it?
Once again, we have the same thing where it was like, why do we care about this now? And that held for a while, but it's coming undone, and it does look like a cover up, and with thoughts of election behind it all. So, yeah, it's very bad.
And what does it mean? And we talked about Benghazi last week, and we talked about the impact on midterm elections. We're looking, we're a year away, obviously, a year and a half away. But this will have an impact, won't it?
Well, it might have an impact, but the New York Times, I'm very tired, so I'm probably, speaking through a halo here. Halo, is that the right thing?
I don't know.
Whatever.
You always speak through a halo.
Yes.
Hello.
Saint
one. Hello. But the New York Times doesn't agree with Rosemary. See, I would say I don't agree with her because, but then that same guy would write me another letter saying Rosemary really dispatched me.
Yeah. I don't know. I do feel odd defending the IRA, but so far it's IRS.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry,
That's a
whole different one. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I I haven't seen the evidence yet, but I will be looking for it because I suspected it in Benghazi all along. That just looked like a bumble from the very beginning, and the Democrats never came out with a clear answer. And this one, their answers mostly are apologies, which makes them right now look very guilty. But where's the connection? I want to see the president's seal on this, or someone from the White House saying, go after these guys.
But don't you think there's a lot more, Rosemary, don't you think there's a lot more anger from the Benghazi thing from the Republicans than you're hearing immediately on
Benghazi?
On the Internal Revenue.
The IRS, yeah.
In other words, there's something that I think is different between the Republican approach in the two areas. And I suspect what I said was true. Mm-hmm. They don't want to make heroes out of the party, mm-hmm. out of the, libertarians.
And Ray, you've been very quiet. Yeah, what do you think
of
this?
No, I'm waiting for this to shake out. I mean, the only thing that I think is surprising is the fact that there was such an apology so quickly.
Right.
That, that raises a red flag for me saying, oh, gosh, there's a lot more to this than we're going to hear.
Oh, I think I know the answer to that.
Okay.
It's always the cover-up. And they decided on the Benghazi thing, maybe, that they got into a little too much trouble over that. So this time they would cut it off at the roots and they would have somebody fall on the sword and say, no, we did it and we shouldn't have done it.
And for the apology to come before the full Treasury
right.
Department's Inspector General report, which is due out this week,
right.
Seems like, well, maybe you should have even waited for that.
Yeah.
But it is, it's interesting.
Who would do that? I mean, let's assume you're in charge of a unit of the IRS.
Well, Lois Lerner did it, but why?
Yeah, so the real question is, why would you do that unless somebody either looked at you, winked at you, nodded their heads, or sort of said, we don't like these people?
This apparently goes back to June 2011, the audit shows that they worked... they were worked very hard to focus on conservatives and then ultimately to make it look that they were just looking at political advocacy groups right. of any stripe.
Then they changed the...
Yeah. So it is, as you said, I don't know how much more we're going to learn in the right. in the full audit, but it'll be interesting
right.
to see.
Like I say, I really think it began with something that really was audit related, until I hear otherwise, that we should go after people who are advocating no taxes because they're likely to make, you know, claims that are yeah. wrong on their taxes. And then someone must have realized, maybe it was Lois. She's been watching this group. So she comes back. I don't know. I don't know. I think it could go either way. But I agree with Ray that this is following the recipe for how you deal with a political mess up. You apologize quickly and try to end the story.
Jay Carney of the White House released a statement on Sunday saying that the president, quote, is concerned that the conduct of a small number of Internal Revenue Service employees may have fallen short of the highest levels of integrity. That the president expects of government officials. And they were also...
Gordon Liddy is involved somehow.
Maybe.
Right?
And there were even some yesterday on the Sunday talk shows making the connection between this and the fast and furious operation of gaining that kind of traction out of it. So we'll see what happens.
Fast and furious never caught on, though.
Right. That's what they're wondering about this, of whether it had the traction.
Remind everybody about what Fast and Furious was again.
Okay. So when you say that, you mean remind you?
The guns.
It was an operation by the
guns to Mexico.
Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, right. in which guns that were supposed to be tracked by the agency were instead lost to drug cartels in Mexico.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I knew you knew that.
But I just didn't recognize
the name. We
talked
a lot.
But here's the difference. Everyone hates the IRS.
What? You know anybody who
gets
coffee?
Some coffee?
No,
that's right. Absolutely. You know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you made this point earlier, Alan, that it's tough to. This is going to be one of those issues because ultimately the IRS, they're always going to come out the bad guy, right?
What a boogeyman that is.
Right.
The president doesn't like you, he'll send the IRS after.
Well, Nixon wrote the book.
That's right.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk more about other great topics. And when I mean great, I mean interesting, and certainly because some of them are quite tragic. We will talk, and we welcome your – well, I always realize that. You know, I say great topics, and then we come back and we talk about something.
We'll be back Fast and Furious.
Yes, Fast and Furious 6 on screen later this month. Maybe in 3D. I'm not sure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Steve Lewis Subaru, Hadley, Massachusetts, a new and used Subaru dealer serving the Pioneer Valley, Hartford, and Springfield, offering new Subarus plus used cars, trucks, and SUVs. SteveLewisSubaru.com. Marshall & Sterling Insurance for business, home, auto, bonds, group benefits, and financial planning since 1864. Our people are your best insurance. Offices in New Windsor, Middletown, and Monticello. MarshallSterling.com. And Bow Wow Bathhouse Resort and Daycare, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, for over 7 years, providing 10 hours of daily indoor-outdoor play, professional grooming, and retail shop. TheBowWowBathhouse.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable. Let me clear my throat. There we go. All right. that's the second time you've ninnied in less than 30 seconds, Alan. That's troubling. We are moving on, and let us talk about the stock market. This is an issue that we obviously have been watching. The momentum keeps building. Stocks hit fresh record highs last week, marking a third week of gains for all three of the indices.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very nice.
You knew the plural.
Indices,
nice.
Thank you. Yes. The Dow Jones and the S&P 500 both held firmly above 15,000. 1,000 and 1,600 respectively, and the NASDAQ rose 1.7%. And investors will be looking to power the upward push with fresh data from the housing market, manufacturing, and consumer spending. And so what do we make of these numbers and ultimately putting it into some sort of political context? Because when we think of the election of a year ago, it was about the economy. It was about jobs. It was about that we were on a road to recovery. Is all of this good news or easily forgotten, do you think?
Well, I think one of the things we want to look at is whether or not the continual rise of the stock market is reflective of the economics of the country. In other words, does the guy in the barrel have a better quality of life, or are a bunch of people on Wall Street making more money? I must say, I am sort of as getting towards my retirement age of 80. I check the market every once in a while, and you say, "I'll bet."
Yeah, I've seen you check it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and check the market every once in a while, and
When he says once in a while, it's like, you know, it's every 10, 12 minutes. It's not a big deal.
I thought you were going to say every 12 seconds.
No.
So what happens is I don't
want to exaggerate.
You know, I it keeps going up, but then I check my totals and I don't see these major differences. Do you understand my point?
In other words,
I'm told it's meteoric, but I'm not particularly.
Well, you probably have a conservative investment
portfolio.
I do now.
It's the right thing to do when you're old.
Affected by ups and downs.
Because you don't want to be wiped out with one stupid day on Wall Street.
As long as
you
have enough money for the dog track, you're good to go.
I thought you meant for the dog.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I thought he was going to.
Yeah.
So when we, I have two questions. One is directed to Rosemary. Of what do you make of this, of how we report this? Because we do watch this. The ticker is now on the corner all the time, telling us the Dow up, the Dow down. We become sort of invested. Those of us who have these portfolios will look and say, oh, you know, where is this? I have to admit, I don't really pay any attention to it at all because it doesn't.
That's smart. That's smart because it doesn't make any difference.
You know, it doesn't. For the exact reason Alan mentioned. You know, your numbers are your numbers, and hopefully that's all going to change. I'm a long way from retirement, so
in radio.
Right.
I got news for you. You'll never retire. Yeah.
Me too.
So the last time I felt like this, like, wow, look at these numbers are going up, and I'm in the range where these numbers are affecting my bottom line. And I look at that and go, wow, I could retire now. But the last time I felt like this was 2007,
there
late in the year.
That's a great point.
And we all know what happened then.
And is that going to happen again?
I do think that's something that we should be reporting on, and Alan has it right, is what do these indices mean versus what's really happening out there? And I think housing is one market right now. It's up, but the latest report on work in construction was down. That's not a good sign for a continuing, you know, strong market in housing.
There's something else to be said here, guys, and that is that there used to be pensions all around. There are no more pensions, or there are very few of them.
Right.
So almost everybody has 401ks or an equivalent sort of number that I don't quite understand.
403B or
whatever.
Except for civil workers, the state workers who kept with pensions, and now they're being vilified as ripping off the system when, in fact, they were the smart ones. We all should have stuck with pensions.
Well, we had choices. I mean, for example, we have Tia Kreff here, or we when I was at SUNY at the beginning, or at Rutgers, actually, I had a choice, which was pension or a transportable 403B or whatever you call it, or 401K.
Well, we had the choice at a time when the market was sort of looking like it is now, on the up and up and likely to stay that way a long time. So we thought we were being smart. We picked the 401s. And that has not
Three,
been
five, seven,
right. And that has not been the smartest long-term decision.
Well,
but then you have to decide how to allocate. You know, my boss at Rutgers when I was a kid told me put it all into stocks because the stock market generally out over the long run outperforms the safe money, the safe stuff that you can put bonds and stuff you can put your money into. That worked out for me. I don't know if it's working out for anybody else since that time because I think things have changed.
But Back to the question, we just have about a minute before we have to go to break, but because you brought this up, Alan, if we, what do these numbers mean? Does it just mean a bunch of Wall Street folks are getting richer? Or if we see the jobs report improving, if we see the housing report, the manufacturing sector numbers improving, all of these different reports come out, and yes, they're monthly, and they're fueling a stock market and give us an overall sense of stability, is that a good thing?
It's very complicated. I mean, to me, it's complicated because there's a whole question of where you, of whether or not this the stocks are reflective, of course, as we said before, but how much is sort of being manipulated. And I think there's a certain amount of manipulation that goes on, you know, in the stock market. We had a report this morning on NPR about, you know, government agencies which were leaking secret reports, which were then being played in the stock market. It's confusing.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some other issues, another tragic shooting, this one in New Orleans. We will also talk about smartphones and the thefts of smartphones and what's being done to try to limit that as well, plus many other issues. We welcome your input, roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable panel. Alan Chartok is here, Ray Graff and Rosemary Armeo, and we are always welcoming your thoughts as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. In the first half, we talked about both the IRS and what was the other topic we had? Oh, yes, the stock market. That's correct.
Oh, yeah, the stock market.
As far as the IRS, we have a couple letters from people. One from Janice came in and said, please remind remind the panel that Republicans harass black churches by having IRS threaten nonprofit status for hosting black candidates as speakers. We'll send a link to sources later. So we thank you for their doing our due diligence. That's very good. And also, Julius writes and says, but wait, didn't the IRS target anti-war groups during the Bush years? And did IRS ever apologize for that or even admit that it might possibly be suspect?
Well, he makes a point, but on the other hand, I know Rosemary's going to say it, so I'll beat her to the punch. Two wrongs never make a right.
Yes. Thank you for saying that.
Yes.
That's right. The IRS is not supposed to be involved in political policy, in politics. It's supposed to be a tax collection agency. Nobody should be doing it, Republicans or Democrats.
But Julius's point is well taken. At least they fessed up, as opposed to some of the others who in the past would never have done that.
Well, I mean, I think that's the thinking of the apologists right now. Let's, what is it? Isn't there now a whole protocol for how to apologize,
yeah,
how to end a scandal? Apologize, throw yourself on the, on
sure,
your knees, and then,
yeah.
Yeah. And
I'm
then
sure there's a department now for it.
Yeah, I think there
apology
is.
Apology department.
Support that doesn't group. That doesn't make it, yeah, right. There should be some way to just stop this.
But, I mean, this is going back to another issue we were talking about, but how much control does an administration have over the IRS and the individual auditors and departments who are looking at things?
Good question.
I suspect we're going to find out in Trickey's case back when he was president.
That was directly from the White House.
Yeah, he
right.
said so. He was heard on the tapes, I believe, saying
yes.
get him.
Yeah. Yeah. But your point is right. You know, is this just
like renegade kind of like, oh, you know, this is what I believe and I'm going to go get him? Or is
or like the president will like this. Let's do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Or look what we did. So interesting questions. We thank you very much for your letters. And we welcome you to write us, of course, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. It seems as though a week cannot go by, and it's one of the most unfortunate aspects of being a citizen and being in the news business, I guess. But another week and another mass shooting, I would say, in the city of New Orleans in Louisiana, 19 people have been wounded in a shooting at a Mother's Day parade in New Orleans. The victims included two children who were grazed by bullets. Police do say that most injuries are not life-threatening. It's unclear what started the shooting in the city's 7th Ward on Sunday afternoon. Police say three suspects were seen fleeing the area. Happened around 2:30 yesterday afternoon. Shots were fired with different guns, according to a police statement. Immediately after the shooting, officers saw three suspects running from the scene. 10 men, 7 women, a 10-year-old boy, and a 10-year-old girl were wounded by gunfire. FBI spokeswoman Mary Beth Romig said that they, quote, had no reason to believe it was an act of terror, that it was simply street violence.
Yeah. This is like a copycat after the Boston Marathon, and it was one of the things we worried about, that someone would see this and see the massive coverage later and think, oh, it'd be cool to do it.
Well, we don't know. All I know is that my son was 2 blocks away in a parade and marching. So
Same parade, or?
I don't know that, Ray. I would be a liar if I told you that.
Okay.
I just know that he was out there and that he goes.
This particular one was a Mother's Day parade, and also, and I don't say this, it'll probably come off sort of backhand, but you know, in New Orleans, they have a parade for everything.
No question. Jonas spends every, I think, Sunday marching in
a lot of parades in New Orleans.
He loves that.
But that's the point that Alan makes, is that it could be any of us affected by this.
Absolutely.
Sort of violence.
Absolutely.
It's our own families.
And while I am really opposed to, this is going to be bad.
The street cameras again. Oh.
No. On the contrary, I am for those. But
while I'm
opposed to capital punishment, I am not opposed to pulling somebody's eyebrows out one hair at a time.
No, I'm against torture.
If we find
too.
Them. No, torture is no good. Yeah.
When you think about
this is my kid.
Yeah.
Vigilantism is something else. You know, I'm in favor of that. But your kid.
You're in favor of vigilantism?
As Chris Rock would say, I'm not saying it's right, but I understand.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And at what point do we cry uncle as a society, in the sense of that there are, a copycat, it's random, it's okay, but 19 people were shot.
Exactly.
You know, in a major city in the United States. At what point do we say, all right, maybe we really do have to look at some of the roots of this problem? I would have thought we would have hit that maybe 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. But here we are.
But there weren't 3 million gun owners in America that you have to contend with. I think I've been thinking the same thing for 3 weeks now, or 2 weeks, since the 7 legislators were implicated. You know, at what point do we really do something about it and say we have to do something? When will we have term limits? I'm for them. You know, when things get bad enough, you find people reacting.
But it's hard for me to figure of like what of how it gets worse.
Oh, let me put it this way. If 13 people were not wounded this time, but were murdered or were dead, it would be worse.
Well, I agree with you on that in this incident. However, when you walk in to a kindergarten and you gun down innocent children who are 5 and 6 years old, to me, you have reached as bad as it can get.
Well, I think we've gone, it's pretty bad. If it isn't as bad as it can get, it's pretty bad and action is needed. But the problem is, what is the root cause? Gun ownership guns, period, have been targeted. It's also our failure to do anything about mental illness. It's still ridiculous the way we fund and treat mental illness.
Yep.
And the other thing is, children, boy, I have a cousin who teaches in South Colony School District for special kids, special needs kids. Yeah. And they're just kids who are abandoned. They're raised by, they're not even families, you know, disparate people who are themselves in need of help. And they get to school and they're given up on. They're hopeless at 16 and 17. What happens to these people when they grow up? We do not deal with that as a society. So if you want to talk about root causes, we have a bunch of them that we could be paying more attention to.
You are so right.
And we don't seem to address. And the only thing I would add to what you just said, and you're talking about 16, 17, but there's kids 8, 9, 10 years old that are in that same position that don't even have, you know, there is no authority figure when they go home if they have a home. And if you are a teacher in one of these schools and you go to call home to tell them about
your concerns about their child, there is no one to talk to.
We have a feeling in this country that, you know, you do it on your own, that you make your own case, and big government is bad government. But if government doesn't do it, who is? No one has stepped in to help, for example, mentally ill people since we dumped out the warehouses that we used to put people
well,
in.
Well, and, you know, and yet, when you think of it, the mentally ill don't organize. The folks who are around them don't, in the same way, for example, that the people who face disability issues do. And as a result, they are ignored by the establishment, which is vote-oriented.
Right.
You know, am I going to get money or votes out of this thing? And the answer is no. So that's why the mental health associations become so valuable and become so important, mm-hmm. because otherwise, you know, forget about it, Jack.
Well, and they're so important, but their funding is nil, pretty much, and we don't
it's
and
true.
And we don't look at it as we think of it as something in the mind and in the head, and we dismiss it as to what, and of course this is a gross generalization, but we often dismiss it as not being a root cause
right.
for the very social ills that we are talking about.
The groups that do have power in the ear of lawmakers have not seen the problems of troubled kids in school and mentally ill people, and add to that this toxic stew of guns too, easily obtainable. They've not seen that as their problem yet. That affects us every day, that we can't go to a parade without, you know, us or our children being in danger.
I suspect they know what's right and they won't do it because it's not equivalent to how many votes they're going to get out of or money they're going to get out of a situation. I really believe that. I mean, if you take a look at the people after, you know, some of these terrible tragedies, kindergartens and the rest of it, they know. They can project themselves. They've got grandchildren. They've got children. They know full well what's right. And then they look at the guy from the aforesaid Tea Party or gun group or NRA-sponsored people. They say, I'm going to lose. I'd rather not lose. Therefore, I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Hmm. Wow.
And then and that's ultimately what we have to deal with, right? I mean, that goes back to my initial question of at what point do we say uncle and we've had enough?
Well, but you're right. It's cumulative. It changes. I mean, you know, you take a look at gay marriage. It changed. It was, you know, it was unpopular. It changed. You know, you get a certain amount of people who don't care, and then all of a sudden, immigration. You say, oh my God, there are 12 million people here. They're being treated badly, and people mobilize around the issue, and then you see a change, and it can happen real fast. So when you say at what point, I don't know what point that is, but it's certainly we have some real good examples of when it has happened.
But what are you going to do if you reach this point where you say uncle? Then what are you proposing? A forced disarming of the population? What exactly
not.
Are you proposing?
I'm proposing, well, first of all, I'm not proposing anything. What I am proposing is that we have a nationwide discussion about what we do about the root problems, that it becomes an issue on the radar, that it is not something that is simply put into, we're going to put the vice president in charge of a task force to look into this industry or look into this incident and see what can be done, and then absolutely nothing happens.
Well,
absolutely nothing.
Well, let's
happens.
Not let's not blame the guns in this case. We don't know what happened in New Orleans.
I'm not even
we don't
talking
even know.
About
could it be drugs. It could be anything.
Absolutely. And but I think too often.
But they had guns, Ray. To be fair, they had guns.
Okay.
They didn't have.
It
the
was
gun.
It was gun yeah. violence, yeah. And it was yet another. It was yet another case of gun violence. And what I'm saying is that regardless. To Rosemary's point, if we're talking about mental illness, if we're talking about drugs, if we're talking about addiction, if we're talking about wayward youth, any of these things are subjects that instead of just being one-offs, that we should look at as a problem, and so that we can provide some safety and security for the general population, but also to help these people who are obviously very much in need.
Okay. Well, if we use the New Orleans situation as a jumping-off point for this, what Rosemary said was absolutely right about society in general. However, we don't know who did this. Did they arrest the people in New
no,
Orleans?
No, there are three people.
So
who
we don't
know
what happened. I mean, we can theorize. We can say it was this, it was that, it was the other thing. But until we know, we really can't make that argument. But what Rosemary said about society in general is perfect. I mean, it makes absolute sense.
Well, I take some exception to your remarks.
Well, really?
Raymond.
Oh, I'll be darned.
You know, I think that there's no question that you can analyze this on various levels. But one level is, if you made it harder for people to get a hold of guns, and these crimes were committed with guns, that's one level. It may be the most, you know, the first thing you get to. The sociologists may be correct, and they are, that we have to treat the politics and the economics of mental illness and all the rest of it. But right now, let's work on getting rid of some of these guns. And if you don't have the guns, people won't be pulling those triggers.
Right. We ship them to Mexico, right?
Oh, come on now, Ray. That doesn't speak well of you.
Well, in fact, the Senate is bringing back the gun control measure in some way. They're looking at reviving the bill that should have passed already and did not, on very simple levels of background checks.
That's, yeah, and well, right.
So I'm not sure that Newtown was for naught.
It was not.
I think that did and is having a lasting effect, that we're going to see some legislation out of it. Whether it's enough, I also doubt. I'm in
but
favor
let us
of
not
gun
forget,
control.
Yeah, but let us not but forget not that the background checks was the thing that even even the NRA had said that they would comply with.
Right.
And that didn't even pass. Well, so if that comes through as the only thing we pass and comes off as a great victory, to me that's just
but,
as sad.
But it will be a great victory because that was a bipartisan bill. You're right. They did get consensus and then they couldn't pass it. That means senators were voting against what their own constituency overwhelmingly
and what they probably
supported.
Thought it was
right.
Right.
That's true. And that it was an agreement that they could have worked out and actually saved face by voting for it.
Right.
And they
and
did
the
not.
Greatest thing,
and there's been a reaction to it. And that great, will that
right.
is important.
That's right. People didn't like it. And the greatest weapon we have there is a mirror because they have to look at themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it's worse than that. I think they will be voted out or there'll be some penalty at the voting booth, which, as you've pointed out, is a prime motivator of some of these people. So
I've lost track. Do we need to take a break? We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and then we will wrap up. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, Saratoga Springs, New York, helping to bring nature closer with Eagle Optics, Vortex, and Nikon binoculars and spotting scopes. 518-226-0071. The Honest Weight Food Co-op in Albany, offering local and organic produce, natural groceries, artisan cheeses, and more. Honestweight.coop. And Jenkinstown Motors New Pulse, a repair shop for domestic and foreign autos and specializing in Japanese cars for over 30 years. JenkinstownMotors.com.
Welcome back to our panel on the roundtable this morning. We just have a few minutes, and we're going to finish up with this issue. Concerned about an increase in smartphone thefts, the New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is trying to get the nation's largest cell phone makers to do more to discourage the thefts.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do, you ask? Well, he's going to announce today that he sent letters to top executives of Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Samsung seeking information from their offices about security protections and asking for their cooperation in working on new measures to reduce theft. He said that he was asking the companies to meet with lawyers from his office to discuss the issue and that he was inviting company officials to work with his office to develop new anti-theft measures in consultation with a mobile security company, Lookout, which is advising his office, a multi-billion dollar industry, and it is being targeted. So what do we do?
Good idea. I applaud the effort. He's absolutely right that these phones, the technology exists on these phones and iPads and other devices to stop or thwart theft, and that should be used. And maybe they haven't been because the companies only benefit if something gets stolen. You're going to replace
it. Well,
that's
what they're saying because they want you to go get another one, and
exactly.
They want you to get another contract. So what do you do? Although I don't understand what the it would seem to me a relatively easy thing to do in the sense of you have the phone, you have a phone number. If you report that stolen like a credit card, then it becomes null and void and you can't do anything
Correct.
With it at that point.
So what's the problem?
Yeah, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Then what do you do?
I'm sorry. I'm hearing buzzes in my ears. I think it might be a cell phone.
A cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't catch much of that. But I agree with you and you.
Yeah.
Thank
that's,
you, Ray.
That's good.
I appreciate it.
I agree with you.
All right. I agree with him for agreeing with me.
I do applaud the government here for saying, you're part of the problem here. Come in and talk to us about this. We're going to solve it. And that's he's working for the people. I think we should give a shout out to him.
I'd love to know some of the, for instances, obviously the Attorney General has some ideas about what you can do to ameliorate the problem. I'd love to know what he's got in mind.
Well, I think one of the things is to have this software, as I mentioned, what did I say? The company was Lookout, yeah. Which is advising his office. It's a mobile security company. And ultimately, some of those solutions would be to do what we were just saying, that you would not be able to
As soon as it was reported lost, it would make the contract null and void.
Null and void, and you wouldn't be able to the phone would then become locked and you would not be able mm-hmm. to reactivate it because it would be on a stolen list, just mm-hmm. like it would be on a credit card. If you have stolen a device and you can't use it, then why steal it?
Yeah, I mean the problem is that of course there would immediately be a market that would unlock the phone and reprogram it.
Right.
But I mean at least like gun control, it's one step in the right direction. Right now, there's no problem at all. You can take a stolen phone into any licensed dealer and make it your own.
And as someone who loses his phone a lot.
Loses it? Or
yeah, well, I never know where. I always forget where I put it. And I know, you know.
You should always have it placed.
I know, Alan. I know.
Left hand box.
Yep. I know, Alan.
Mine has been
you can't
stolen.
Relate to
I've,
this.
I've actually had phones
but
stolen.
But what scares me is because you have so much personal information on those phones.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have so much stuff on those phones, and to have that taken is scary. But also, I mean, on my iPad, if I have which is built into it, where you say, find iPhone, you press the button, and it'll
sure.
tell you that it's,
cool.
you know, it's at 314 Central Avenue, and it kind of like zooms in, and, you know, you left it on the table, idiot.
Oh, that's funny.
So, you know, that's a plus as well.
Yeah.
But, and I didn't. I have to say, when I read this article, I was surprised that it was such an industry of theft in the phones
it's,
and devices.
It's a huge replacement market. The article.
Yeah.
Is saying
can you imagine? So. Can you imagine what's happening to that stock this morning that Schneiderman is pushing?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But they'll find a way to make profit out of this too. That you buy it with extra protection, or you buy it with the extra software, or.
Yeah,
you know, they won't,
and protect
they won't
yourself.
Lose money on this, but it is a big protection.
We are out of time for this segment. I know, Alan. But don't worry. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk about many other cool topics.
I have some other things to say.
But what did you have to say in 30 seconds?
I'm teasing.
All right, excellent. Yeah. We thank you all for listening. We do invite you to check in, roundtable at wamc.org, and please join us on the roundtable panel tomorrow. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Wow. Now you're getting somewhere.
There you go. You're listening to the roundtable on WAMC.